Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone, on this particular Thursday night? We got a topic, why women dating preferences are socially accepted but not men. We're going to talk about that particular topic tonight because that's something that kind of affects any and everybody. I know it's June, it's hot. It's day June the 5th. There's a lot of kids got school today. So they're going to be eating up all the food and sucking up all the air for the next few months. So enjoy your bills going up until August come back around. Now, Ms. Gabriella should be here possibly later on or so. But we want to talk about this particular topic. Now, you know, in this dating game, people date or whatever. There's nothing wrong with having a preference, as I stated before. Because if you don't date someone or possibly marry someone to your liking, then this is really not going to work. But we notice that women have a freedom in that area that men do not have. As I stated earlier in the promo video, if a woman says she only want to date tall men, no one is going to give her any kind of backlash to that particular statement. Even though a guy can have the same argument as a woman. If he's a 5 foot four kind of guy, and if you use your preference as a man to reject her, if you say, well, I'm a good guy, I may not be 6'2", but I know I can treat you right, I can, you know, do this and do that, but a lot of times some of us don't want to hear it, and she's not called out on it. But if you reject her for any reason due to your preferences, something's wrong with you. You call, you know, arrogant. You call all kind of names as men. And men have been subject to much ridicule online for their personal preferences with dating. Why is it that a man cannot say what he likes? Why can a man can only date a woman that's within what he actually wants to be with? There's nothing wrong with that. If a woman can date men that's over 6 feet tall, and that's all she can date, because that's what she like. Well, if a man says he want, like I stated earlier, he want to date nothing but blonde hair chicks, that's his business. Why should he get attacked for it? Because no one attacks the woman for her particular preference when it comes to men. Now, I want to hear your particular comments on this situation with dating, especially a lot of, you know, women. Let's hear what you got to say, and men as well, because a lot of men deal with this, especially, I want to talk about black folks for a minute, in the black community. As black men, your particular preferences are highly attacked. If you choose women within our own group and you like a particular skin tone, you're attacked for that. If you like women outside of the black community, you're attacked for that. I noticed that within our group, our sisters could date whoever they want, and nobody's going to come down on them like they will come down on the men. That isn't right. If that's her preference, if she says she don't like black men, well, that's her business. She can go on and do what she got to do. I don't care. But she should have, just as much as she have her right, you should have your right to say, well, you know what, if you don't like black females, you should have a right to say that. If that's what you want to do, because it's your personal preferences. Now, the call-in number is 347-996-3350. Press the 1 button. It gives me the indicator that you would like to speak on the program. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone lines. I want to hear what you got to say about this when it comes to women versus men and why women could put all these standards on men and their preferences, and that's okay. But the moment a man has a preference, it is a problem. So let's go to the... Well, I guess the person took out this off the line. Well, anyway, the person, I guess you press 1, or on the, I guess with the 732 area code, it was gone and it came back. Anyway, okay, there you go. I see you now. Eric Cole 732, you on the show?
Hey, what's up, Advice Show?
What's going on, man?
My name is Bryce from Jersey.
All right, Bryce from Jersey, what's on your mind?
I'm actually 18 years old. I just started, got on your YouTube channel like a couple months ago. Yeah, and I like
okay.
Some of the stuff that you talk about.
Okay, well, appreciate you checking it out.
Yeah, but this this topic I kind of relate to a lot because, like, with my mother and grandmother, like, you were just now talking about the black community.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more so with the women as far as, like, you know, black community. Like, my dad and my grandpa really don't care about, you know, what women I date as far as as long as they look good and they have a good personality. But my mom and grandma is a little bit beyond that.
And is it picky for personality reasons or physical?
It's more so towards physical. Like, I dated a white girl once, and my grandmother, you know, absolutely didn't like it. My mom got used to the idea because I dated her for a little while, but my grandmother wasn't really feeling it too much.
Okay, and what was her reasoning?
Just because, you know, the racial divide between blacks and whites. You know, my grandmother lived through the segregation period. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wants me to keep it, like, all in the family. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, keep it all
exactly
in the black family and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's even the same way with Hispanic women as well. Like, she just wants me to date strictly, like, black women. And I don't have any issue with black women. You understand? Like, I'll date girls as long as they look good and have a good personality. Now, my preference is more so physical. You understand?
Yeah.
Outside the realm of ethnicity.
Okay, have you rejected any girls because they did not meet the physical standards that you wanted?
Yeah, like, I worked at this place called Seabrook, and there, one of my coworkers, she was a waitress, I was a utility worker, and she was, you know, about maybe four feet, 2 inches, something like that, and I'm about maybe 5'7", so she's way too short for me, you understand? I would like a girl at least my size, my height, you know? So she asked me out on a date, and I was just very polite with her. And then the next day I know, I go back into work the next day, and all her friends are attacking me because of what I said.
Okay, so they attacked you because you was honest and said, listen, I can't deal with a chick that short. That just, you know, I can't do it. And they attacked
you. Yeah, and there was no harm in what I said. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah. No, it wasn't no harm in it. You was honest. Okay, so what, you supposed to just take her like that, that's not really your preference, and then what, if a chick come along that is your preference, and you're not even into this chick like that, then, you know, it's going to maybe
like,
lead you toward fooling with that other chick.
Exactly. It seems like whenever a girl that does meet my standards, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but if a girl that doesn't meet my standards, you know, not quite to the T, if I want to, you know, pass on it, I'm the one who's insecure, I'm, you know, even called a sexist sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? Because they say, you know, you got to give people a chance. You don't know, they could be a good person. You could be passing up on a relationship of your life. And it's just like, well, this is my personal preference. You understand? Like,
yeah. But they never tell women, well, you know, this guy, give him a chance, even though he don't have no money, but still give him a chance. He could be a good person.
Yeah, that's the same way.
Never hear that one.
Nah. You know what else I was going to say? Why, as far as, like, why certain women are like that?
Okay, what's up?
I would say because women are more self-conscious as far as their appearance. You understand what I'm saying to you? Where as far as we as men really don't
Their appearance or their appearance with you?
Just their appearance in general. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, in society, you know, there's a lot of pressure on women to, you know, look good and meet the requirements of what the media portrays as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say something regarding their looks, if it's not, you know, if you're just being honest about your personal preference, they'll kind of lash out because of that. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're saying, you know, I can't speak on other, you know, groups of women, but American culture and American women, you know, a lot of them have this entitlement. Issue in mind. And they feel that, you know, they could, you know, have these demands, but as men, we don't have, we've got to just be happy to get one of them. We can't say, you know, certain standards that we would like them to be. And, you know, usually, you know, it's, I don't really think some guys are so strict in their standards. I really don't think
like
they
very,
are.
You know, I'm pretty much laid back. I would just like somebody, you know, my height. You know, is that too much to ask for?
No, that's not too much to ask for. I mean, that's what you like. That's what you like. You say, you, how tall are you?
5'7". That's
yeah,
average,
I mean,
height
and, touch. And let me talk about that. There may be a woman that you may be interested in that's your height and may say, well, she don't want you because you're not 6 feet.
Right, right. And that
you know,
because
some women
before.
Won't you because you're 5'7". So
that
I'm just
happened before.
Yeah, you go. You know, so, I mean, what, you're supposed to cry about it and you know. Now, I don't think I do know, don't know nothing about this at all. But, you know, I heard that's like kind of an issue for some dudes like Kevin Hart, Cat Williams height. The height thing. Yeah, I heard the height thing for some guys is an issue because, you know, women really rag on them about their height.
Right, right.
You know, because what's put out there is, oh, you want a guy that's tall, dark, and handsome.
Right, right.
They never say you want a medium-sized guy and handsome, or a short guy handsome. Always got a tall guy.
Yeah, now that you mentioned, I didn't really think about it like that, but you're right. Wait, how tall on average would you say Kevin Hart and Cat Williams are, if you had to make an estimated guess?
I think. Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
I think that they said like Cat Williams was like what, 5'6", or and Kevin Hart?
5'6"?
They're pretty short. They're pretty short, like 5'4", 5'6". Something like
okay.
that. I have to check. I don't. I'm not about to look it up right now because I don't know offhand. But
they're pretty
small people.
If they're 5'6", and I'm taller than them, I'm at least 5'9", then.
You say compared to them?
Yeah, because I know I'm taller than them.
I don't know. Like I said,
well, I don't know because some black women be like, the guy has to be 5'. This is one thing that burns me up. Yeah, Kevin Hart is 5'2", actually.
Oh, wow.
And Cat Williams is 5'5".
Oh, Cat Williams is taller than him?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's what I'm looking at I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
Wow,
it's a celebrity
he's
5'2".
I didn't know he was 5'2". He's a run.
That's Kevin Hart right there?
Okay, but this is okay. But one thing that burns me up about a lot of black women is they're like, oh, I want a man who has to be 5'5", or not 5'5", he has to be like 6'5", 200 and something pounds, six pack and all that. But then when you look at her, she's like 4'8", 300 pounds. Yeah, they have like these crazy unrealistic standards. Like, my question is, why would you want a man that tall anyway?
Man, a dude at 6'5" is just not somebody you're going to run into every day anyway. I mean, that's basketball player height. I mean, you may get a guy around 5'10 to 6'2 range pretty easy. But 6'5 and up, no, that's, like you said, that's ball player height.
Why would you want that, though? Because most women aren't really that tall anyway.
Who else I seen a picture of the other day? I seen a picture of a Shaq. You know, he's still with that chick Hoops.
Yeah,
man,
that
chick looked like a little kid.
It looks ridiculous. Cause he's like,
compared to him.
He's about just as wide as she is tall. It's too much.
Wow.
I mean, they look happy together, and it's cute, but why would you want to be dating somebody who is like 2 feet taller than you? It doesn't make any sense. And then why, I guess I missed a few minutes of the show, but why would a woman want to be with somebody who is that much bigger than her? And for what? Like, I mean, I've seen a lot of women look over really good guys and be like, oh, you're not tall enough for me or something like that. I mean, maybe your ideal man may not be, he might not be 6'5". You might find somebody who is 5'6", and he might treat you well.
Right,
you
know? I mean, some preferences are things that's kind of, in my opinion, some of them are shallow. And then you got to have, like, yeah, you want certain things. You got to have, like, a limit, too. Like, okay, where is this limit going to go? You know, am I going to say that I only want, you know, a woman that has this physical trait and I'm not going to talk to no other ones? Like, what if she have all the other stuff, but she may not have that one thing you want? I mean, it's no perfect person out there.
Right, right. Yeah, there's gotta be a give and take between your standards.
I mean, that's why I think you focus more on person's personality,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who they are. Because at the end of the day, all that physical stuff, as you get older, all that stuff's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what, then you're going to be just stuck with her personality.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I've seen a lot of people, the couples that last until they're 60 and 70 and, you know, people that have been married for 20, 30 years, those are people that are just, they love you. They like the person for who they are. Because after a certain point, you don't even care about that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, they probably have compatible personalities, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the best relationship, you know, at least from what I could say, is, you know, if and I've seen like a lot of old people like this, if you get somebody that can finish your sentences and accurately finish your sentences, or think what you're thinking, that's pretty good. You know, it's a trip when you have somebody like that. You know, it's like y'all that in tune with each other. You know, and usually those relationships, you see people like that, they be together, like you said, them 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. All right, who got on TV?
Oh, that's me, my fault.
Okay. Well, anyway, bro, I appreciate you calling the show. So I'm going to answer some other calls and put you back on mute.
All right, thank you, man. Have a good day, man.
All right, thank you, man. All right, Ms. Gabrielle, you want to add anything before we go to the next call?
Keep it down.
What?
Yes, sorry. What I wanted to add to the call is just that I think that people should try to focus more on things like who you are on the inside, because the outside stuff is not that important. And then there's some people that have, like I've said it before, so many times, but so many people have unrealistic standards. Like they want so much out of a person. It's like they want a person like out of Build-A-Bear Workshop or something. Like they want this type of income, this type of look, this type of everything. And it's like, and then on top of that, sometimes they don't even really have that much to offer themselves. So it's like you're asking for all this. Okay, well, what do you have? And half the time, that person can't even meet all the standards that they set for the other person.
Yeah, especially like, you know, I've seen a lot of females, they are, you know, will have an idea. They want to do work worth a million plus a year, but they're not even worth a Lone Star card, which is a food stamp card here in Texas. So, you know, but yeah, they got this attitude that's what they want, and that's they want to go after. And like, instead of going after somebody who's on your level, and that may be the best dude ever, because that dude, you know, he may can feel where you're coming from, you know, like in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Because that's the thing, because you wouldn't really, like, what would somebody from who works at Walmart really have in common with somebody who's working on Wall Street? You know, what would you actually be able to talk about? I mean, you guys could be compatible, but sometimes it's better to find somebody who's on your level or just a little bit higher so that you guys have something to talk about and you have something in common. Because you can't really, I mean, like a lot of the times people, when they come home from work, they want to talk to their spouse about what happened in their day. And if you are, you know, somebody who is making 8 figures a year, what would you really be able to talk about with somebody who works for $7.25 an hour?
I'm gonna say this just as a man. Men, we can actually be a millionaire and actually meet a woman who works as a cashier at Walmart and actually get with her and be happy with her. Because as men, we don't actually be looking for money. Men look more so for looks and personality.
Well, when I was saying that, I was speaking more from a woman's perspective.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit.
Perspective, yeah.
A woman's perspective, that's totally different. But a man could have a housewife probably with a high school education and still be happy with her.
Yeah.
But when it's a woman, we really need somebody who like stimulates us intellectually. Like we need somebody that we can really talk to about so many different things. Like we need someone that we can talk to, we can confide in, all that. You can't. It's really hard to have something in common with somebody who is working, like, as a woman. It's just hard to work, be with somebody who is either making a lot more money than you or a lot less. At times, it's just different, because I've met different, you know, people from all different walks of life.
Uh-huh.
And in my experience, it's a little bit harder for me to interact with somebody who is who, when there's a status difference that's really, really extreme, like if this person is worth $5 million a year, it's a little bit harder to talk to them, whereas it's easier for me to talk to someone who's probably is just a little bit above my level, because we can relate to each other a lot more. Because it's like, when it gets to something like that, like if it's somebody who's a college student and they're trying to, like someone who just graduated college and they're trying to date somebody who has a PhD and they're a professional and they have all this money and all these different assets, it's just, mm-hmm. it's difficult, you know? It's like, what are you really going to talk about? Because,
exactly.
And sometimes I've even seen people where, like, I've known people that have been married to people that are older than them. And oftentimes, it's almost like their older spouse talks down to them like they're a child. Like they're like, oh, well, I'm older, so I know better, you know? And then it's even more so when you have a person who's like, let's say, for example, a man has a housewife, and his housewife doesn't have a lot of education or money, and he is the one who's bringing all the money, and he is the one who has like a really high level of education. Sometimes I've seen the man treat his wife like a child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, that's why I say that it's always best to find somebody who's at least your equal, if not a little bit better, because it's just, you shouldn't, you know, the Bible speaks about being equally yoked.
Yeah. And with that said, let's go on to the next call. Eric Cole, 281, you're on the show.
Hey, how you doing, Advisor Derek?
Oh, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
Of course.
Man, how you doing, Gabriella? Man.
I'm fine.
We was talking about this a couple of days ago, so my partners.
Uh-huh.
I dealt with that in the past, like, during college, not college, during, like, my smaller days, and I was a little bit smaller. The biggest thing I hit was, oh, you know, you're not big enough or you're not tall enough. And it was like, okay, so move on. Then, you know, time gets by, things change. They're all, like, overweight and everything. And it's like now they come back. Hey, I remember back in the day when, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but, you know, that's not my thing. What do you mean? And I actually was up front with her. I'm like, I'm more into fit girls. And, or at least those that are making an attempt towards it, and just me and you, it wouldn't be able to work. And her friends went on a raid for the longest.
I know that. I know they did.
For the longest. It's like, you know, back in the day, brother don't got no muscle. You know, you're not tall enough, but then things change, and now your body done changed. But you want, it's like, something I talked about with Gabrielle about this before in the past, too. It's like they... My biggest thing, I attract a lot of bigger women. And I notice a lot of big women like muscular guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but they it'll be the ones that totally refuse to even try to, like,
give
exercise
a big
or,
guy
you know,
chance.
Better their bodies. Yeah.
And they also would not give a bigger guy a chance, too.
Yeah, they
that's
won't. They
I don't understand.
Big guy
I guess
chance.
Big
like,
men,
I can't
big men and it's bigger men and bigger women, because I've seen both sides say, oh, well, I just can't deal with a big girl, or I just can't deal with a big guy. Two big people shouldn't be in a relationship, blah, 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 which doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you not, like, if you're a bigger person yourself, especially if you are leaning towards, like, 200, 300 pounds, depending on how tall you are, why would you try to, I mean, I understand that you have a preference, but then why would you want to be with somebody who is 100 to 200 pounds lighter than you? It just, I mean, I know it's a matter of preference, but to completely shoot someone down, if you're a bigger person, to completely shoot someone down because they don't have a six pack, is kind of strange to me.
Mm-hmm. But then they won't have nothing. It's just like what y'all was talking about earlier. They won't have anything to bring. Now, this is outside of the physical realm. But they won't have anything to bring to the table but expect the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I see that highly in our community. I see that almost every day when I meet different people. And it's like what y'all talked about in the past. They want a guy with a degree. You know, he's done this, that, and the third. Exercises. can cook and all this other stuff. But then if someone that does have those qualities doesn't have one of those things, they totally put you to the side. And then, like y'all were saying earlier too, they'll take offense when the script flips. So yeah, shoot, even my girlfriend, she ain't like, at one time, she told me I was too short. I needed to be at least 6 foot. I was like, oh, man. So, yeah, I'm 5'10", I'm close. But yeah, it was one of those things. Now, some people, they look past it and then realize, oh, okay, you are good, blah, blah, blah. But others, man, because, you know, I don't got a problem with tall girls. I'm with old dude earlier. I used to date all kinds of tall ones. I don't care if they were tall than me or not. As long as they was cute, smart, did right, I was fine.
So what, you were thinking about taking some injectable HGH?
If only I could grow just a couple more inches. I ain't going to lie, I would like to be at least 6 foot.
I mean, sure. I wish I was about 3 more inches too, maybe 4.
Is it really that serious though? Because I'm 4'10", and you don't see me tripping about wanting to be tall. Is it really that much different for men?
You want to know what it is?
I
mean, I would like to be 5 feet tall, but you know, it's not that serious to me though. So I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Is it different for men? Like, if you're 5'10", do you really want to be 6 foot? I mean, does it really matter?
A dude that's 5'10 can get away with a lot more than a dude that's, say, that's shorter than that. Like, say, 5'10 is about the shortest a chick can let you go with. If they really on that tall stuff.
Well, yeah, if they're really crazy about tall, but if they got some sense, especially if they're close to my height, because I've seen a lot of girls, they'll be sitting there 4'10", 5'2", at the max, talking about they want a man who has to be at least 6'4". I'm like, man, look at yourself.
You know, I've always seen that, though. I've always seen, like, the shortest, women always with the tall men. And the tall men with the shortest.
Personally, I don't find it very attractive.
It's rare if you... rarely have I seen two tall people date.
You so right.
It's rare.
I don't see it too much.
What you define as tall? What, 5'6"? I'm talking for a woman.
I mean, well, for considering my height, I prefer a guy who is like maybe 5'4" to 5'8", like preferably or five. I think 5'10" is the tallest I would go because I don't really think it looks right for me to be a borderline midget and to be dating somebody who's 6 foot tall. That looks weird.
Hey,
it just doesn't feel
comfortable. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Could you date a guy your same height?
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine that.
I mean, I've seen people, like, I'm not attracted to all men anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, I don't like guys that are, 5'10 is the highest I would go on. It's nothing personal. Even if you are a good person, I just don't like the way it looks, and it doesn't feel right. Because, like, I've had guy friends that were 6 foot tall, and I'm just like, there's no way. it feels almost like dating your dad.
You're rare to say that because, like I said, I'm going to say most of the ladies I've heard in the past, you know, they prefer a tall guy. You know, he ain't got to be, you know, NBA tall, but at least, like you said, 5'10 and up, if they can get that.
Here, you want to know what I've heard, like, just different times when we have, like, those real talk sessions between, you know, male, female party type thing. The biggest reason why a lot of the girls say that is a lot of them say, well, I just want a guy that when we walk around, I'm protected. Like, they feel safer with a bigger guy, you know, taller.
Well, yes, but then all the greatest fighters have always been small, so.
And that is so true, but society has made it look like, hey, if you're a big, tall guy, you run the world.
Well, more people are being more intimidated. Well, it's like this. If you got a guy 6'2", and 6'2", 6'3", he ain't got to lift no weights. He could just be solid 300 pounds, just solid. He would look more intimidating than a guy that's like 5'3". It's just, I mean, like you see which one is the bouncer. Even though the shorter dude they may be a fifth degree black belt, and those dudes not. They, more people try the shorter guy, they'll try the taller guy. That's big like that.
I always say to each their own, because I personally just feel more comfortable with a guy 5'4", 5'6". But
you know,
everybody,
else?
You know, because that's considered tall to me. Like, that's still
tall
almost,
to you, Gabrielle.
It's tall to me.
But then
the average woman who's 5'5" would think that's weird. So, you know.
But I remember, like I said, man, you remember like the time I had talked to you that time. I said, man, I thought you, like that from your videos, I thought you was like about 6'6", 6'2".
I wish. Yeah, I remember that. Well, in regards to that, like we were talking about earlier, Gabrielle, with the height thing, what me and Advise were talking about is I can't really say much for Advise, but I'm taking a guess. It was kind of the same. When we were all younger, the guys that, at least in my time, the guys that got most of the attention were the taller guys. So in order, you know, the respect, whether it be sports and stuff like that, they're always taller. So you grow up thinking that, and then it's like, you know, now it's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind being about 6 foot or so. Shoot, 6 foot, 200 pounds, solid muscle, I'd be happy, you know. But it's kind of one of those society things.
Right. Just like it's difficult for it's difficult for really tall women to find a man. Like if a woman is 7 foot tall, it's going to be difficult for her to find somebody.
Yeah, because a lot of guys are intimidated by taller women, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
At one time, not going to lie, the reason why I like tall girls, I was like, one day I'm going to have tall kids. They'll have a face. That was my logic.
Wow, he said he wanted them jeans. He said he could get it from you, but he was trying to get it from her.
Wow. I used to think that way, too, but I used to say, okay, I'm going to get with somebody who's 6 foot tall so that maybe my kids at least be medium-sized instead of my height. Maybe they'll end up being, like, 5'10 or whatever, average height. But I think as you get older, though, the older you get and the more experience you get and the more people you meet, you realize that how cute somebody is or how tall somebody is and all the really superficial things don't really matter when it comes to long term. Because when it comes to really being with somebody long term, it's really all about like friendship and compatibility and stuff like that. Because, I mean, both of y'all eventually, no matter how attractive you are, you're never going to be as good. You're never going to look as good as you did in your forties, basically. You're not going to be attractive forever. So you're going to have something else to keep that person around.
You need to speak for yourself. Only speaking for me.
Well, I'm not saying you should date somebody who's unattractive.
You're talking about the aging process, and I'm not. What I'm saying is speak for yourself. Don't speak for me, because people in my family age very well.
I mean, people in my family age very well, too. I look 10 years younger than my age. But at the same time, it's like, still, you're not going to look as good in your 20s. When you're 40, you're not going to look the way you were when you were 20.
Oh, no, you're going to look a little older, what I'm saying. But if you actually take care of yourself, you don't drink too much, you don't smoke cigarettes, you use drugs. And, you know, like I said, at least halfway take care of yourself, you'll be all right. You know, we got some good genes usually if you take care of yourself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I seen what's on the news. I mean, if y'all have seen this lady last night, they say she was 34, and she was like 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know how it is for us, that it happens, you know, for black folks a lot of times. And, you know, and sometimes either other groups outside of black people. The age, you know, pretty well. Somebody at least got melanin in their skin, and my wife waving her hand like, yes, we know, because she's always mistaken about her age, too. So, but that's good when you're mistaken about your age on the...
Well, at least it's younger.
Not mistaken for your age. I thought you were, you know, 45, 50. Like, you don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Gabrielle's trying to say, though, is eventually things are going to change. It's just she messed up when she said she put an actual number. Because after that bodybuilding show I was in, Musclemania, I met some people that were in their 50s and 60s that make people in their 20s look like garbage. like that are athletes.
Mm.
So,
yeah, like that. What's that black woman? That 74-year-old woman that be that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, she
up.
Looks better yeah. than.
Man, they don't have women
20s.
In their 20s that even match her. You know, and it's like
exactly.
LA take care of herself. So yeah, it's all about how you.
But on average, though, on average, most
okay.
people don't take that good of care of themselves to the point. Because I
right.
see people that once, I mean, I've seen a lot of people that once they reach, it's like once they reach 40, they just let it all go.
No, I'm gonna tell you the magic age. If you know you got good genes or not, once a woman reaches 35, after 35, you got good genes, they gonna kick in. Or people still telling her she look young, or if you got bad genes at 35, that's you on your decline.
Oh man.
just from my observation, a lot of people. Well, I'm gonna say at least with women by 35, yeah, your genes will show if they're good or not. Because I've seen some women that's like 35 and stuff like that, and like, oh my god, what happened to her? And then I've seen women 35 or what you like I said, I'm not about to call my wife's age out, but my wife looks nowhere near her age at all. At all. You know what I'm saying? People think I'm older than my wife is sometimes. You know, but it's the way I used to have that problem a lot. And I used to get mad when people say, oh, you much older than what you are. And I'm like, not. And then until somebody broke it down, explained to me, say it's your demeanor. It's not that you look that age. I said, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's cool. And I used to get mad when people used to tell me that. Man, I thought you was older than this, older than that. I ain't old. Watch your mouth. My wife.
You're only as old as you feel.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all about how you carry yourself too. Because then some people, once they get a certain age, they just become kind of dry and boring. And because I have some people that I know that are in there, they're like 60, but they still have the vitality of a 20-year-old. So that's important too.
Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do to keep your energy levels up. Because nobody wants to be around somebody who's just. I mean, everybody's different, but who wants to be around somebody who's like 40 and they sitting there drinking prune juice on the couch and watching QVC? Like, no.
Prune juice, really?
All right, with that said, hold on, guys. We get to these calls and people waiting. They probably want to chime in on some things.
All right. It was nice talking with you.
Yeah, you can stay on. I ain't gonna mute you. Just mute yourself or whatever. Erico 229, you're on the show.
Yeah, how you doing, Avi, sir?
What's up, man?
All right. How you doing, Miss Gabriella?
I'm fine.
All right, that's good. Yeah, I just I want to chime in here. I do believe that when it comes down to dating, I do believe that both men and women are superficial to a fault. But I do believe that when it comes to women, I do believe women are a little more, I do believe their standards are a little bit higher most of the time than guys. And, you know, I'm not going to include you in this, Ms. Gabriella, because I do understand that you get this, and you really get it, but a lot of women don't. I'm like this. I understand, like, you know, some women, if you look like somebody like Beyonce or something, you're not going to understand, you know, you being selective or whatever, you know, but you have some women who are not up to that level physically, from a physical standpoint, you know, and then they have this long list of, oh, you know, my guy got to be this height, or my man has to be this weight, or he has to look like Horace Cujo, or, you know, one of them guys like that, or, you know, or he. I mean, look at you. And my thing is this: you should not. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having high standards, but you should not
have standards higher than yourself.
Exactly.
I would say that's higher than yourself, personally, because I posted something about that online. I just wanted to see someone. So I was speaking about how I had seen some girls that they were talking on the. Well, I saw a video, and this woman was explaining how she had listened to some girls talking on the bus. Long story short, these girls had really low credit scores.
they were working minimum wage jobs, overweight, didn't really have that much to offer themselves, but then they had this laundry list of things that they wanted in a man.
Yep.
He has to be 6'4". He has to have a car has to be, at the time, they wanted a car that was at least 3 years, I mean, like a pretty decent car, like a only 3 years old car. He has to be making six figures. He has to have this.
Yep.
He has to have great. He has to have perfect credit. He has to have nice teeth. I'm like, okay, well, what do you have?
But that's the gold diggers you talking about. You ain't talking about the average chick. The average chick don't want a dude making six figures. She just want to, if he just give her the illusion that he making money, that's always good enough for her.
Yeah, nowadays, you know? For real.
That's why these dudes with cars like that, you know, they Range Rovers. You'll see them getting those Porsche Cayennes. You'll see them getting all kind of stuff and putting rims on it. And oh, boy, they look like $1 million coming out that Galleria in there. You know, but then you.
But
look
then
at,
they coming back home
to a box,
like a efficiency apartment.
But these chicks don't care about that. All they care about is the look. It's the
right.
Look. Oh, he,
yeah.
I'm riding this car with this guy and all this stuff.
Exactly.
Well, if he was smart,
and,
though,
you know,
he would understand that some fancy clothes and a nice car doesn't always mean that someone has money. Because usually,
exactly.
When somebody has money, they don't. I mean, a lot of guys that have money, they dress nice, but they don't walk around flashy like the young urban black guys do.
Well, the thing is, if you see a dude flashing money, that is, like I said, and I hate to say this, but that's just some just straight nigger-ish. That's all it is, because when you have money, okay, the last thing you want is people to know you have money for a lot of reasons. Number one, you don't want people asking you for crap. Number two,
exactly.
You don't want to make enemies when you don't have to make an enemy of people being jealous of you because of that money. So you would be wise enough just to kind of keep that on the low. Now, people could speculate what kind of money you have, and that's fine. But for you just be confirming the junk, saying, oh, I make X amount of dollars a month, and you flashing and look cash and doing this, and then also you setting yourself up like Floyd Mayweather is the stupidest guy I've ever seen in my life. He's advertising.
Heck yeah.
He walks around with $1 million cash. I like you setting yourself up for goons to rob you. I mean, that's a
million
dollars.
You setting yourself up, and you're going to be attracting the wrong type of women too.
Yeah, it's like why would you
do
that? The last thing I would do is let people know I got any kind of money. I'm like, nah, man. I mean, I do all right, but shoot, I ain't carrying no cash.
Yeah.
My money ain't in the bank. Just for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one thing, too, if I show, like, you know how we always talk about, you know, a lot of these ratchet females wanting to get with these thugs and bad boys. Well, another thing, too, on the flip side of that, you know, we have these women that don't with the thugs, but the bad boys, these women that do date the Boris Kujos of the world. We do have women like that, but see those women, in some ways they're worse than the women that date the thugs when it comes to their standards, because you know a lot of these so-called professional women, their standards are a lot higher than they should be. You know, and that's why many of those women are well into their 40s. You know, you got to look at that, too. That's another problem that we have.
Well, see, women are different. Like Ms. Gabriella was saying earlier in the show, see, women's standpoint, oh, if I accomplish this, I expect you to be at my level or higher. Versus us as men, we're not expecting a woman to accomplish much of nothing other than look good and make a smile. That's why it doesn't matter to us. If you meet the girl and she working at Goodwill, doesn't matter. We can be a millionaire. If we like her like that, we'll get with her. First, if a woman making millions of dollars a year, well, she want a dude that makes the same amount of money or more. That's the difference.
Exactly. And that's fine. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, she should have those kind of standards, I guess. But my thing is that, you know, when you get to the point where, you know, you have unrealistic standards that can't be met. That's my thing. I understand, you know, if they reach a certain level of success, they expect the guy to be somewhat on their level. I mean, I do understand that. I understand, like she was saying, you know, a woman who's making $1 million with a, you know, working as a, you know, as a CEO of a company is not going to want to talk to anybody, you know, working at Walmart. I understand that. But at the same time.
And, it could, and also,
a,
though, but it also it could be her loss because that dude is at Walmart. You never know what he's capable of with the right support and motivation. You just never know. He may supersede you. You just never know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you
just
you never
know who people are sometimes. They just haven't had that right motivation and that right break, you know? And that's what that saying. How many guys have said, oh, these females have passed me over, and I got with this one chick, and she supported me, and she encouraged me to go back to school, and she encouraged me to do this and that. Now the dude is, like, making all kind of paper. Just because this one,
mm-hmm.
you know, girl encouraged him when he would have never done it probably before, and then the same chicks that turned him down, that'd be the main brothers that'd be like, oh, now you want me. Forget y'all. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I had nothing before. You didn't want to even talk to me.
Mm.
Yep.
You know, so you play that. Yep. You play a dangerous game on that, you know, who's successful or not. You know, my thing is, if a man is, like, not a lazy man, he has a hustle by himself, he want to do better, and you just see it in him, that's what he want to do. Like, some females are good at spotting a guy's potential. And
right.
I'm going to say, now, I'm going to say something, and some of you may not like it. A lot of sisters don't have that eye. They don't have the eye to spot potential.
No, they don't.
I don't know what it is a lot of times about women outside the community, and maybe because they had their dads around, some of them. But a lot, I've noticed that some of them are pretty good at spotting that guy's potential. It's like, what's she with him for? He ain't got no money. You see, in a few years, this dude is doing awesome. Because she, like, she's got that potential with.
But then it's
weird because they'll sit there and chase after a guy who has absolutely, I mean, if sometimes you may have potential, but you're just not there yet. And I understand that you might be doing a small job until you can get there. But then I've also seen women, like professional women, date somebody who is basically homeless, doesn't really have a permanent address, can't even keep his phone on, doesn't really have a job or anything. And they'll sit there and have that guy live in their house, and they'll be paying all the bills. So that doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, but some women want to control everything too, mm-hmm. with a man. Some of them just want, you know, in-house sex, and they
mm-hmm.
fine with controlling him and like, you know, he's a child, because that's just what they're used to, you know, with some women. But, hey, brother, I appreciate you calling, and I'll move on to the next call.
All right, appreciate it, man.
All right, brother. All right, let's get these calls. The people waiting. I don't want to have them waiting too long. Air code 707, you on the show.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
How you doing?
Not too bad. My name is Rashad. I'm from California. So
awesome.
Where I'm at, there's a lot of Hispanics where I'm from,
uh-huh.
About an hour north of San Francisco. And the topic you brought up as far as men getting a lot of flack back about who they want to date and women kind of just cruise under the radar. I think when it comes to their families, there's a lot of stuff they hear that people don't know about because they keep it in the family.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend of 7.5 years, she's Mexican. So she looks white because of the Spanish side in her. But when we got together, we were 17. Her parents were completely against it because I'm half black. My mother's white. My father's black. They pretty much don't care. They said he has any black in him at all, he's not good enough for you. And we dealt with a lot from that, and so did her other siblings. But I just think that a lot of people don't know how some families are. Her family's real traditional, old school, from Mexico. So they're not used to how it is nowadays. Everything's just mixed together, and you know, it really doesn't matter what the race is of somebody else. It's the individual. And there's been plenty mm-hmm. of times where her and I are out and about, and there's other Hispanic guys. I don't know if they're Mexican or whatever it may be, but there's been guys that have approached me and been cursing me out in Spanish and saying things to me because I'm with a Mexican woman.
Wow.
And then also a weekend ago, we drove an hour south to San Francisco. We spent the weekend in San Francisco. There's all types of sisters out there giving her the crazy looks and giving her the dirty eyes and everything because she's walking with me. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's really messed up of how it is, but I just think it's
It's just amazing.
That's ridiculous. Because I've had that happen.
This country has a horrible race problem. It really does.
We do. Mm-hmm. We have a ridiculous race problem. There's been times when I would just go out to lunch with a man of a different race. And I've had, it was mostly black folk, too, that would give me some of the most nastiest looks. And I'm just like.
Oh, yeah. That definitely happens a lot.
Why is it in this day and time we can't just. America is probably one of the most diverse countries in the world. We have so many different cultures and races, and yet people are still so racist. I don't understand that. And I mean,
yeah,
if someone's happy,
It's just a problematic, you know, in this country, because this country was founded on that principle, and they don't let it go. And unfortunately, that disease of racism is spread to every community.
Oh yeah, I know you mentioned a lot of times that you say people like to say we live in a post-racism society.
Yeah,
that is one of the dumbest things I can hear, because where I'm from, you know, there's a lot of Hispanics, Asians, a lot of white, not too many black people up here. I live in wine country in Sonoma County. Not too many here, but you drive an hour south of us, there's black folks everywhere. But up here, there's a lot of racism that people just kind of let go by. And I refuse to let it go by, because everywhere I go, I got somebody looking at me crazy. Just the way I look, I've always stood out. I've dated black girls, white, Mexican, Asian, all races, obviously when I was younger, because I've been with her for so long now. But I've never experienced the type of stuff that I've gone through with her. And for her to tell me, you know, how we go to our high school prom. We go to prom, I show up to pick her up for the prom, and her parents look at me. I don't have no big afro, nothing like that. And I actually, a lot of people look at me and can't tell I'm black. Some people look at me and think I'm full black. I don't know what that's all about, but they look at me and didn't talk to her for 2 weeks. Her parents completely ignored her, act like she didn't exist, because she went to prom with a black dude. And because of that, we had to hide our relationship from her family for about the first 3 years we were together. So it's been 7.5 years, but to her parents, they've only known 4.5. But, you know, obviously her siblings have known and everything. But I just think it's ridiculous how it is nowadays, given the fact that, you know, even to the point that our president is half black, it's gotten up to that far that we still have to live in an area where there's racism going all the way around. And as far as what gets put in the media, that's 1% of what we see every day in our lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And 1%, but that's the one that has the greatest.
I appreciate you having this. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's the one that has the greatest influence, and that's why I try to combat against the messages that they put out. Trust me. It's not your, like I tell people, it's not your Ku Klux Klansman that's pushing propaganda. It's those that have the Ku Klux Klansman ideology pushing the propaganda, you know, against, you know, different groups of people, trying to get all these different groups of people fighting and all this other stuff. you know, like I said, I haven't really had those experiences. You talking about somebody coming up to me and all this other. No, I mean, I've had them looks before, just looks here and there. And half the time, I'm oblivious to it. I don't even see what people are looking at. But I haven't had no guy ever walk up to me and say something crazy to me, you know, not one time.
Oh, yeah.
But I got
to where I'm at, we have – there's it's kind of split between the Hispanic race. They have Northerners and Southerners, and it's split between gangs. So you have the Northern gangs and the Southern gangs. Well, the Southern gangs, they're, like, directly from Mexico. And it's a big thing with Mexico, just not messing with blacks at all. So when they see me walking with one of theirs, they wanted to approach. Actually, one time she didn't tell me what happened fully. We were walking through our mall down here, and she just turned and cussed somebody out in Spanish. And she told me days later that one of the dudes walked over and grabbed her on her butt. As we're holding hands, I didn't catch it because I'm not paying attention, but they're walking the opposite direction, grab her butt and keep going, and like whispered something because, I mean – She's all of 5 foot, maybe 110 pounds. I'm 6'2", 220, and I work out. So, you know, they're pretty ballsy for doing that. Most of the time they keep a distance, but it does happen out here where I'm at.
And I don't know. I don't know if they think maybe I'm not going to do something, but she's going to be my wife pretty soon here. So I'll be damned if I'm going to let somebody disrespect me and disrespect her. Now,
they get away
one
with that
good
stuff
part.
Because I'm going to tell you why they get away with that. Because y'all don't have a lax concealed handgun law. That's why.
Mm-mm.
I guarantee
you.
You
know
guarantee
what? You got
you
that right.
You start hitting some center mass shots. That'll stop all that.
You know what? That's one reason I don't like living in California, because you have to go through so many loopholes just to get a gun, and when you get one, you can't carry it around with you anyway to protect yourself.
That's stupid.
But I really appreciate you having your show. You know, I watch your videos all the time, and I appreciate you having the radio show, because it gives us a platform to speak out on the stuff that doesn't get put out in the media every day. For the regular folks like myself and my lady and, you know, yourself, Gabriella, and all the other callers, it gives us a chance to speak and possibly let somebody else hear these things that are going on, because it's not right. Now, one good thing that has happened, her parents have pretty much shut the hell up. They've noticed ever since I've been with her, I've had a job. I've had multiple jobs. The job I'm currently at, I've been here for 6 years. I can take care of myself. I can take care of her. She makes great money doing what she does, and we don't get into these type of fights and arguments that a lot of relationships do. We are very, very mature for ourselves, and we take care of what needs to be taken care of, because they have the opinion that black people are lazy, black people don't work.
And I always tell people that any other group that have a preconceived notion about us, if you listen to what they're saying, you could trace it all the way back to the originator of the hate against us. Every time. They say the same playbook as the slave master. Every time. That's why any hate that we have is traced back to him and those who continue in that. That's why I have more beef with you know, the media, with them pushing racist messages and stereotypes and stuff like that, because it makes the whole world hate black folks. I know that, and they get mad when I say that the whole world hates black people, because they do. They don't like us like that. They don't like when we clowning, making them laugh, or chasing a ball. If we ain't doing that, they don't like it. And it's just straight up. I call it what it is, because nobody runs out of defense if something happened to us.
No. But the funny thing is, we're the fastest to come and defend any other people group. But then whenever something happens, like whenever there's a Trayvon Martin case or all these different cases that come out, it's rare that you would see someone of a different race come out and speak against it and say, hey, this isn't right.
I mean, I almost got fired
because of the Trayvon Martin case. I almost lost my job because of the Hispanic dudes and the white dudes were all pretty much against what was going on with the whole trial. They felt he was innocent. I almost lost my job because of that. None of my superiors, but it was some of the people that were under me. They no longer work there, but I'm not even going to go down that road, because that's a whole nother alley, you know?
Yeah, it's not like a lot of black people where you at, because I know, like, at least in this part of the South, I mean, yeah, we pretty deep down here. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, on the jobs, at least at that time with Trayvon Martin, they was kind of scared to talk about it, because, you know, a bunch of us around, they were scared that we was going to riot. They were scared about it.
Oh, well, these people had a little bit of liquid courage going on. At the workplace, they ain't going to say nothing, but it led over there. But, you know, in my household I grew up in, my mother's white. I didn't grow up with my dad, but when my dad's black, he was there but not there. We never had the issue of race. My mom, actually, it's funny, my mom doesn't like to date white dudes. You know, she's white.
I've seen white women like that. They say they can't stand. They don't want no talk with no white man. They can't identify with them. You know,
that's how she is. She just doesn't have nothing in common. But my father, he's been with black, white, Hispanic women. Like, it doesn't really matter to him. And that's where I really don't get it. How somebody can sit there and, like, my girlfriend's parents, they come from Mexico. Their education stops at the third grade. So they don't really they previously weren't educated. Now they're U.S. citizens, so they recently had to learn about American history, and they had to learn about slavery. And after they learned about slavery, everything changed. They started looking, say, okay, he does have a job, consistently works, he makes her happy, he's never put his hands on her, he doesn't even talk bad to her. Okay, he's a good guy. Let's bring him to family events. They actually got to the point where we've talked about marriage so much.
they know we're going to get married, they actually want me to move into their house. But a few years ago, they didn't even want me to look at their house. And now they want me living in there, you know, because she does have an older sister who's married to a guy who's half black, half white. They have some kids, so they have to deal with it. But I think a lot of people just, they just stay in their lane. They know what their family brought them up with, and they stick with it, you know. And it's in that in all types of communities, unfortunately. But, I mean, what do we do except for educate the people in our own communities and hope that multiple communities link together and get it out there, you know. Let people know, hey, it's okay. I live in California. It's legal for gays to be married, but some people put a big X up for a black dude to be with a white woman.
Oh, yeah, that's the most taboo relationship in the United States is that one, and the most, what's the word, highest divorce rate, too, with that particular relationship. So, you know, don't ask me why. But, you know, well, I understand why at least the white woman, the white woman's highly pressured, you know, more than anybody when it comes to that relationship. You know, and I've had white women tell me that, you know, that they have never seen so much racism in their life. They, you know, date a black guy, or don't let her have a child that's half black, because, I mean, she's really going to go through the ringer. You know, they literally cast her out of the white
community. Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, and I also think that society is just overall more sensitive to women, which, you know, I understand. Like, obviously, a man should never put his hands on a woman. But a woman should not put her hands on a man without expecting to get hit back. Not saying that it's okay, but I know a lot of girls that say, you know, they have no problem hitting a dude in the face because he's a man. He can't hit a woman back.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. So it's not okay for him to defend himself. My attitude has always been, if you don't start nothing, won't be nothing, you know? Like, why would you put your hands on somebody, slap him around, spit in his face, kick him, and then if he decides to even slap you or just push you and say, get off of me, oh, okay, you got to call the cops and he's going to jail. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's very stupid. I
feel like, honestly, I said this, but I know some people won't agree, but I feel like if more men would actually start hitting back when women would just attack them, I'm not saying a man should slap a woman around, but there's been too many stories where videos that I've seen women sit there and just go start punching, kicking, and turning into like the Tasmanian devil on a man, and he can't do anything back. Let him swing at her one time, just punch her one good time, all of a sudden, oh, he's such a bad guy, I can't believe you hit a woman, oh, that's horrible. I really think that if a man actually would just start hitting back and defending himself, women would stop that right away because they know they couldn't get away with it. Because historically,
exactly,
women would never sit there and put their hands on a man because they know. They know that no matter what, a man is always stronger. And I know probably feminists will probably get mad at me for saying it, but it's true. Men are stronger than women.
You know what? You're
so
exactly right. And that's my point as far as society is more sensitive to the women because, Mr. Bias, yourself, you put up multiple videos about these women that got that, what'd you call it, the fire crotch that want to mess with these young kids. And as soon as it's a dude out there, it's going to blow up.
It did blow up. Well, see, it depends on what element. I paid attention to that, too. Now, I put up a story that was, I think was worse than all all the women fire crotch teachers. Was about that dude that was slept with a 16-year-old male student, exposed him to HIV. Now, I thought that story would have blew up more than the other ones I've ever done. And I noticed how quiet that story has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why is that?
Just take a wild guess why that story stayed a whole lot quiet versus, let's say, if he slept with a girl student and instead of a male student and actually gave, you know, exposed him to HIV.
For one, they were black. For two, it was a homosexual act.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear about that.
Exactly.
And that's too bad. That's like two thumbs down for us. It's like, number one, you're black, so it's, a lot of times it's not going to get put up into the mainstream. And number two, is the gay acts, they're kind of like, whatever. But that doesn't make any sense because since most of America, to my view, is against gay marriage, if a gay act like that happened and an adult gave a child an STD, that should have been blown up.
Yeah, I've been saying it's going to happen. I say when you expose somebody to HIV, AIDS type of stuff, I mean, come on now. I mean, that should have been the stick that broke the camel's back. But I knew much wasn't going to happen out of it because look at all these women doing it. Like, and I talked to my lawyer maybe about a few weeks ago, And she told me that it was a bunch of teachers in Harris County Court getting arraigned for sleeping with students.
That's wow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty much. I got to get going here. I got to get back to work.
Yeah, man.
Soon.
Yeah.
My main point to you guys is my 1-2 punch is one. I think away from overall society, because we have so many different communities. I think number one, when it comes to women, that it doesn't get told about is in family. In their families, they get a lot of crap from their parents and their siblings about dating. I guess you'd say specifically outside of race. I know there's a lot you can go into as far as how looks go. And number two, when it comes to society, overall are more sensitive to women. And these crimes that these women do, they're overall more sensitive to that. And now that's just how I feel about it. But I appreciate you giving me a little platform to speak on. I'm going to go ahead and keep listening to the show until I get back to work. And go ahead and expect to hear from me again, sir.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. All right, Ms. Gabrielle. Let's see who's been waiting in line the longest. This caller right here. Eric Cole, 415, you on the show.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr.
How you doing?
I'm all right. In sunny California. And getting blood on the phone before me, he's out there. And there's no black folks out there, my man. None. So he's not on with that.
You're kind of breaking up there, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Well, no, because all I heard was that you said he was from a certain section in California or something. And
yeah,
was breaking
up. I'm not too far from there. The 707.
Okay.
Yeah, it's white and Hispanic. There's hardly any blacks out there, and it's pretty. What he's saying is absolutely true, And but anyway,
what's going on out there with California, man? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of brothers hit me up and say California is not a good state for black men, especially. They say they don't want to give a black man a job. The racism black men deal with out there. Is that bad?
It's bad, brother. It is bad. Like I said, I'm a pretty successful businessman. I basically have property, so I do it myself. But and I we talked. I was in law enforcement for like 17 years. So man, it is hard on a brother out here. And tell you, you got a lot of beef between Hispanics and African Americans out here, especially in Southern California. There was an incident, and I'll send you the article where a Hispanic gang shooting black family neighborhoods, literally. On the LA. So, it's really, really hard on black men out here. Really hard, and like you said, you know, they got gun control. I mean, you can't carry a firearm. It's hard. It takes an act of Congress to get a concealed weapon permit. It's just crazy. But
see what happens when you have those liberties. You know, those who are criminals, they have guns, but the citizens
trust me, that's why
Texas may have these issues, but Texas believe in toting a gun. So that's pretty good.
I'll be honest with you. I've been to Texas. I've been to Houston. I've been to Dallas. I like it out there. As a matter of fact, I was actually thinking about relocating to the South. It's just
a lot of people
in
California and Houston, man. A lot of people have relocated for simple fact jobs. You know, because they're in California, don't have much.
No, there's not a lot out here. I mean, as far as jobs go, man, it's just really, dry. And again, I'm advising my kids to go off to school, go to college. My son, he just graduated from middle school. He's going to high school, so I want him. I'm advising him to go out of state to college and try to establish himself out of state, because California, it's dead zone. Unless you have your own business and you're doing for yourself, looking for a corporation to take care of you like back in the old days, that's not happening. That's not happening.
Hey, you say you're in real estate?
Yes, I am.
I want to ask you a question. If you bought a home in California, let's say it's 5-bedroom, 2.5 bath, two-story, about 2,700 to 2,800 square feet. How much do one of those homes cost on average in California?
In Los Angeles, because I buy in Los Angeles County and I buy out in Sacramento County and some spots in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles County, a property like that is probably anywhere between, and depending on the location, you're looking at anywhere between 5.5 to 1.5 million.
Wow! Really?
Yes.
Now here in Texas, you can get a house like that for under $200,000.
Oh, I know that.
So you know, if somebody got a house like that in California and actually sold it for $1 million, they can come move to Texas and they're rich.
Matter of fact, there's a property in Baldwin Hills that I'm purchasing. It's actually a distressed property in Baldwin Hills that I'm actually in process of buying right now. I'm probably going to get it for 60% of what it's worth, so I'll probably pick it up for three and a half. I can basically rehab it, put it back on the market, sell it quickly for $645. If I want to hold on to it and get all my money, put it on the market for $720.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
So but it's a hustle, man. It's a grind. It's not an easy hustle, man. You got to go to the courthouse. You got to find out. I deal with a lot of probate properties. I deal with a lot of folks who are in foreclosure. And what I do is I negotiate with the banks. I have a relationship with some of the banks, some of the subprime lenders, where I can basically short sell that property or buy the actual note on the property, sign a contract with the owner, and I pick up the note for 10 cents or 30 cents on a dollar. And basically the property is mine now, and I just basically put it back on the market.
Hmm.
That's pretty good. Let me ask you a question about the topic.
The topic. What I'm saying is this: I'm 5'9", and I've always been pretty athletic, you know, all throughout high school, college, and so on and so forth. So I didn't really have a lot of issues with folks, you know, saying you have to be 6 feet and above, because I was pretty athletic. I looked very athletic. So that has never been an issue for me. But for those cats who kind of look regular looking, not or out of shape, but just, you know, look, there's nothing to them. That has been an issue for some of my friends who just didn't really work out, who weren't 6 foot and under. And I think a lot of these, and I hate to speak on my sisters, because I love my sisters. I love my sisters, but sometimes I think they're misguided because of the things that they look for in men, rather than looking for the superficial things, such as he got to be 6 foot and he got to have a nice car and he got to have this. Look, I have a nice car, but I don't drive it. I drive my little bucket around because I go in the hood, so I'm not going to be driving around in no fancy car to look at properties. So, and like you said, you know, a lot of times cats with money, they're not going to expose their hand, because they don't want people all on them asking for money, and you know, you don't want the wrong chick in your circle. You don't want none of that.
That's right. I mean, anybody smart is not going to expose their hand, because actually, men with money got to be more careful than anybody, not to tip anybody's knowledge of what he got.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny though, and what you said was right. A lot of sisters don't know how to sniff that out. But I tell you who know how to sniff it out, because sometimes I'll go out to lunch, or I'll just kick back, and I'll have my laptop or whatever, just trying to take care of just regular business. Asian women and white women, they'll have a small conversation with you, and they'll peep you out like that, because they've been trained by their family. They've been trained to know who's got what, or if you are about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And sisters so many times are so into what you are wearing, what you look like, so on and so forth. Sisters are nowadays, because I know when I'm a little older, I don't appreciate y'all talking about 40 being old now.
It wasn't me.
I know who it was. I know who it was. That was that pretty thing that you sit next to. All right, so I'm gonna give her a pass. We as black people that got to get back together and get back to the basics. Like when I was coming up in the '70s and the '60s, man, we need to come together and quit worrying about trying to build relationships with other folks and build within our community. We got to, because we are a losing race at this point in time. And let me just speak on something real quick. I just want to say this, and this is something that really disgusted me. We are so busy trying to give people passes for saying things that are just way out of pocket. These so-called celebrities who want to keep their, you know, keep making their money. That irritates me, you know, and I hope you speak on that. You know what I'm talking about. I hope you speak on that soon, because that really pissed me off. Excuse
okay,
my
what
French.
Celebrity?
That,
what yeah. celebrity are you talking about? Straight up.
The Floyd, there's old Justin Bieber. He's a pretty cool guy. Yeah, he's cool in your face.
Man. You know what? Speaking of Justin Bieber, I have got at least 10 to 20 messages today about Justin Bieber. Everybody hit me up about Justin Bieber, and so you know, I did my Justin Bieber video, but I put it up after the show or whatever. I'm like, man, it was Justin Bieber and the chick in New York. That's what everybody was hitting me up about. So I'm like, you know, I heard all y'all emails. I got all y'all tweets and Facebook posts. Just letting you guys know, I got it. So,
But let me say this real quick, and I'm a roll out, because I got a lot of stuff to do. But I love you guys' show. I love both you guys. I grew up in. I had the best of both worlds. When I was younger, I grew up in. City of Oakland, California. So I grew up around, it was primarily 95% black. Of course, like a lot of us black folks, my dad, you know, moved us out to the suburbs. I moved to a place where it was 75% to 85% white. So trust me, when I say this, I have an education on white folk. And they're really nice, they're really sweet to your face, but like I said, when they have their own little parties and their little get-togethers, trust me, they will exclude you, and they will basically have their own little, you know, their own little thing. I've seen it time and time again, and I speak to my younger siblings, my kids, my nephews, my nieces. I say, you know, you guys just kind of, you know, have to use your judgment and pick your friends, you know, accordingly, and just don't listen to what people say. Just watch what they do, you know, because a lot of times people will say stuff and it'll be totally, totally against what they really believe. And that's all I'm going to say on that thing, man, you know, because, like I said, I'm tired of seeing brothers not being strong. And I understand why sisters don't respect us, period. And I wouldn't respect us either, because we got a lot of BA brothers out there, and I'm not gonna curse on your show, but
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree, with that 100%. I do. I mean, it's like the biggest problem within our community right now is weak men, and you I'm gonna tell you one thing that's sticking me to my stomach, and I still think about that. When the Donald Sterling thing happened, those black men got on that basketball court and played anyway, and I had more black men that they would not play for Donald Sterling. They were more pissed off that they played for Donald Sterling. It was just horrible, you know. So we have a lot of, you know, things we got to work on and fix in our community. So, brother, I appreciate the call, and I move on to the next.
Hey, call. Man, it was a pleasure talking. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And you guys have a wonderful day. And I'll talk to you later, bro.
All right, brother.
All right. Bye bye.
Miss Gabrielle, you fighting pots and pans back there?
I don't know what's going on. The internet keeps going in and out.
Who you got for your internet service?
I'm not even at home. I'm somebody else's house right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's see here. Hold on. Eric Cole, 404. You on the show?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I think the number one thing, I've been married 25 years, and I've been listening to these calls.
Congrats.
Listen, the things that you people are talking about, my daughter's 24, my son's 27, it's the same. You're looking at the height, the money. The number one thing to make a relationship work is you have to be on the same page. That's what's going to do it.
I agree with that.
That's what's going to do it. If he's into, and if you're looking at the guy because of the kind of car he drives or the house he lives in, look at him in a way where he can show
oh
you,
my God.
Where he can teach you. It's not going to work. Most men with money, they don't want a broke woman. They don't want it. And I also want to address the thing about 35, being over 35, and the good genes, bad genes, because I lived through it. And this is what happens, because when I was younger, I was a runner. But after
uh-huh.
you get 35 and 40, women, I'm originally from Detroit, but I live in Atlanta now. And I want to say something about that, too, because I have never experienced racism. I hear it a lot, but living in metropolitan black cities, you rarely see it. But anyway, after 35 and especially 40, especially if you're black, you get a thing we call a spree. And let me tell you what you have to do for that. You have to take spin classes like you take an Eminem. You have to stay on the treadmill. And that's the only thing, because the weight gain comes quick after 35. It comes quick. And you have to work out and you have to eat right. That's the thing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to the things that I hear, been hearing on this phone calls and my daughter and my son, and when my daughter has friends over and I'm trying to educate them on this thing called life, their mouth is always open because they don't hear the other side. They're just out here looking at TV and everything. They don't hear it from mothers anymore. And they want the car and the tall and the height. You need the intellect. You need
mm-hmm.
somebody that's going to show you. If you guys want to make money, we can make this money together. Show me what to do. You have to be, especially women, we have to be shown how to make money. We
mm-hmm.
go to, we go, women go to school to learn how to work for somebody else.
That's right.
We need a man, like, I had to find him. Well, I didn't have to find him. My husband just happened to be from Jamaica because I liked him because of his intellect. It didn't end. And you guys have to be on the same page. That is so important. That's key. Philip, your wife, for you to have all these stations, all these things, you would have the intellect of a very smart man. You couldn't get that with a dumb woman on your side. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I agree. I would admit that. Sister, let me tell you something. I would admit that 100%. My wife encouraged me to do every bit of things that I do.
Exactly.
And
sometimes you even have to write up a resume for your man. You know what I mean? You have to help him. He has the mechanical, but maybe he doesn't have the technical. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
if you are a woman that want to make money, and he is too, he's going to have the hustle about him, but you have to do the paperwork. He doesn't want to deal with the IP addresses and it. You know what I mean? So you guys have to work together. He can be 6 feet. He can be 3 feet. When you get older, it's not going to matter.
It's right. It's
exactly.
not, at the end of the day, it won't matter.
Listening to this, I can see why the divorce rate is so high. People look for the wrong thing. It's wrong. It's wrong what people are looking for. Looks out the door. Out the door after 35. You have to sell the
treadmill
to burn off what you ate that day.
Well, sis, let me interject for a second. Like, the reason why I focus the topic on most of preferences or whatever, because that's usually the first thing that people, you know, go in a relationship at first. There's something about a person that's going to attract you to them. Usually a more mature person is going to focus on what you're talking about. Say, okay, this is a good person. Like, we're on the same page. If, you know, what goal, like, for instance, when I met my wife, I was on a total different thing than what I would have been at age of 22. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, you live life a little bit. You will focus on those type of things and looking for the right qualities within a woman, you know, or, you know, if a woman looking for a man if she's smart. But, you know, yeah, but they always say that, too, about a lot of successful men. You know, they say behind every successful man is a, you know, a great woman that's there. Because, see, a lot of women don't understand that sometimes you just support what your man is doing. And if he's doing something productive, I mean, he's not doing it counterproductive, you know, support him. And you'd be surprised where it goes. Because I've had a woman before that would be totally against anything outside of what she dealt as the norm. Okay. And she would have made it hard for me. Versus, like I said, my wife, she supported me, said, hey, if you think this is what you need to do, or, you need to buy this particular equipment, or you need to do this, you need to do that. But now,
right.
you know, things has changed, you know, because she, you know, supported me and stuff like that. You know, things have, you know, gotten a lot better. And that way, in turn, I can support her in the things that she's doing. And so it goes,
right.
you know, all the way around. But if you don't
have
a woman
to support. That's what the Bible means when, with God, not to bring religion, not to bring the Bible in it, but it's important. When God says he likes things in order, he knows what he's talking about. The
mm-hmm.
man is the lead. The husband is the back. The wife is the backup because the man is really smart. If you give him a chance, he's really smart. He just needs that extra, yeah, right, because that's the only place he's going to get it from his wife, because when he goes out of here on the street, ain't nobody going to be like, yeah, man, go for it. Yeah, man. Man, you can't do that. Man, that's impossible. Man, there ain't no black man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tell
so I just wanted to say that key is be on the same page in the intellect. You guys have to always learn together.
Well, see, a lot of women need to understand, too, and I've said this many times, a woman can make a man feel like he, like 20 feet tall, or she can make him feel like he almost dead.
Uh-huh.
You get
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? And
uh-huh.
it's the truth, like kind of like when my wife brought up a point to me just now about like my sister-in-law, you know, with her situation, and you know, my brother-in-law, he, you know, was working jobs, just kind of struggling. You know, he wasn't really making much, but he got, you know, with my wife's sister, and she encouraged him to, you know, get in the career that he's in. He had to work for some years, and she took a lot of stuff, you know, on the back burner for what she wanted to do. But now, you know, he works as a Border Patrol agent. He does good in his job, and he would have never had that if she would encourage him. And in turn, what he ended up helping her doing is getting her nursing. So if he would have never encouraged him, he would have never done it. He still would have been in the same dead end type of jobs.
If you guys want to make money, you got to help him, and he needs to help you.
Well, it's not about making money. It's about, you know, you got to look at your family. At least how I look at it, your family is a unit. Or you say you can want to say unit. You want to say little kingdom. You want to say whatever you want to say. Okay, but anything you're doing is to benefit the family. So if at a certain time say, okay, your man got a particular dream, it's something he's trying to do, you see it as good or whatever, you support him, and then, like I said, you never know, he could turn around and, you know, support you and just make it good for everybody. Because at the end of the day, like I said, as long as you're on the same page, you have a good vision for your family and where you want to be and where you want to end up, then it's gonna work out okay.
The reason I say money is because that's what it takes.
You got to have money.
Keep
that's
a happy
true.
House, every happy work. Oh, yeah. That's what, and, you know, a lot of marriages break up because of money. It takes money to be out here. It takes, you know. It takes money,
but you have to be a good steward of your money, and you have to be also on the same page. Because you're right, money caused a lot of divorce in America. And, you know, one thing that, you know, from my prior experiences, like I say, with my first marriage, is that when you have a woman that has the attitude, my money, your money, you already set up for failure right then and there. And I said, when I got with my wife, I said, you know, I'm not going to do that my money, your money stuff. It's our money. We put all our money in one account, and we distribute the money when we see fit to pay bills and do all this other stuff.
That's
what we're going to do. And
right.
that's the way it's supposed
that's
to be.
Married.
Not just, oh, well, you
right.
make more
exactly.
money than me, so you should be paying this bill, and I pay that bill.
When people don't realize, when you start separating the money, separating this, you also separating you two.
Yeah.
You also separating the bond that you two have. You know, people don't realize that. Put that money together. You know, it's just, it's money.
You're right. It's just money. You can make more. And also, like I said, too, that couple have to be disciplined enough to say, okay, well, we got X amount of dollars. And, you know, okay, well, we're not going to spend this, we're not going to spend that, we got this bill to pay or whatever. I mean, you got to be, you know, disciplined in your money. I mean, like with me and my wife, you know, we went through a complete, you know, credit overhaul since about the month of January to now. You know, because my credit got pretty bad because of divorce. It got in the low 500s. And, you know, now I haven't checked my highest one yet, But I should be over 700 now because, you know, we've worked real hard to get it that way. Because I told my wife, I said, you know, we getting too old. We having some bad credit now. I said, well, because, you know, we got these kids that's going to college and, you know, and all this other stuff. And you got to be.
You can see how society has turned. Banks are not playing games with credit anymore. You have to have 700 if you want something. They're not playing games with loaning money anymore. And that's just the society, the world we live in. You got to have good credit and you got to have money. And if you don't have those things, you're going to live mediocre. So you have to do things to get those things. Even if you don't want to, that's just the way it is.
And that's the problem, like you said, in the black community. Like you say, you were talking about some people focus on cars and who look good and whatever. But, you know, you can't go in there talking about you want to get a house looking good. They're going to say, what's your credit score? How much you make? I don't care. That's how you look. I want to. That's all they care about is credit scores and your income ratio.
Oh, you did good this year, but let me get those 5 past tax returns.
yeah. Let me see them tax returns.
They want the mother's name before when she was in high school. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now I also wanted to say that because my son and I don't, without being racist, I want to say this. Now my daughter she's college educated, bachelor's degree. No children, 24, she's fine. Now, that son of mine, 27, lives in Florida. I have 4 granddaughters, all different races. Now, this is what I told my son, and his father didn't agree with it. His father is not my husband, but his father didn't agree with it. I told him it's okay to date, you know, women of a different race and everything. That's fine. That's cute in your 20s and 30s. But realize once they get over a certain age, women of different races don't age like black women. You know what I'm saying? So when he started talking about marriage, I gave him bad advice. Was that racist? They just don't. When the woman.
Well, you didn't give him. I'm going to say this much. No, wait. Let me say this much.
Okay.
You gave him a half truth because that is a truth for some groups, but that's not true for all, because not all groups outside of black folks age bad.
Okay, I didn't know that. What group is?
Well, like I said, I can show you. I know people in my own family. Okay, that's Hispanic. I know people that's Asian. I know people, of course, that's black. I'm gonna say people of color. I'm gonna say who have some sort of melanin in their skin, they have the potential of aging pretty good as long as they took care of themselves. Now, just and I'm not saying this. Please, don't, whoever listen, don't be offended what I'm about to say.
I know,
but
right.
You know, I noticed just from what I'm about to say, and it's not all. So I'm not saying all, but I noticed yes, you know, a lot of times say white women they get about the age of 35. Sometimes they look to start tanking on them. Due to the fact of, you know, just genetics and not having melanin, you know, and that's the science I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, now, some people, you know, they may not fit that mold, you know, that's maybe like a white lady or whatever, but just from what I've seen. But at the end of the day, even if she is starting to lose her looks, if she's a good person to whoever she's with, we all going to lose our looks eventually. That person may lose their looks a lot sooner than you, but if they're a good person, are you going to really just divorce them because they're getting old?
Not just lose their look, like age different, like that spread I was talking about. Black women, they'll get hippie and they'll get a big butt, you know, with a spread. And then other races,
in this day and time, I don't know what you're talking about because that's what everybody going after now. So the hip and behind thing, I mean, even other groups outside of black folks is trying to get that even surgically.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Yeah, but I'm saying like after a certain age, when men start talking about marriage, black women start talking about marriage too. When you start talking about marriage, and now you and your husband of a different race are in your 40s or something, and now everybody's aging, you know, body wise. You know, we got elastic.
But you're not gonna trade in your wife just because y'all getting old. And if you trade in your wife or having an issue,
was it racist to kind of? Because he got quiet on the phone, like he was like, "You sure?"
Well, he would kind of. Well, think about it from his point of view. I mean, it's like you're just basically saying, oh, well, if he's let's say if his girlfriend's Asian or white or Hispanic or whatever she is outside of a black woman, you basically just dissing the woman he's with on something that's really not even really important to you, because it would be important to him. Like, you got your man, so you good. But to him, like, what, like, if it was me, if he was my son, I wouldn't say a word about it. That's him. If he wanted to be with a cougar, if he wanted to, that's his business. As long as he happy, as long as you treat him good, that's nothing to do with me. That's mm-hmm. how I feel about it. I want you to treat my son right. That's it. As long as you treat my son right, not doing them dirty and all this other stuff, you cool with me, I'm going to help you, whatever you need. I love you. That's it.
So, okay, maybe. I was just a bit concerned. But my husband said the same thing you said. Who cares? But,
yeah,
okay.
Who cares? I mean, that's his business at the end of the day, if he's going to be with her or not. As long as you treat you good or treat the grandkids right and all this other stuff, that's all you need to be
mm-hmm.
concerned about. Looks is on him. He, if he like it, it's like this. If he like it, you love it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
That's it. I mean, life's too short to be worrying about stuff that really don't bother you too much, really. I mean, that's him. You got your man. So as long as your man, you happy with your man, good.
Yeah, he all right.
You twin. Don't be saying that. He
all right on Thursday.
Don't say that. You better say you love that man to death.
That's 25 years. You know, he all right. And then Sundays, you know how that goes. You married.
No, I don't know how
Sundays
that goes.
Okay, well, let me tell you how it's going to go. Some days, it's okay. Some days, it's like, oh, just give me 50 feet. It's going to go like that.
You know what? I'm sorry, but I'm about to tell you, I don't have them days in my wife. It's like, oh, God. That's the main thing I said. I don't want a woman to get on my nerves. Because I've been through that.
At all?
And no, she don't get on my nerves at all. No, she don't. We've been married.
What if you want to go somewhere and think?
What if I want to go somewhere and do what?
Think. Just get it together in your own head, in your own intimate.
But like this, when we go places together. I'm happy with that. We go places together. She's my best friend, too. So why would I want, like, oh, I'm going to get – because I got enough time by myself as it is. I like, say, if I work or I'm doing videos or whatever, that's enough time for me to think. And, like, she's not always, like, nagging me and telling me stuff 24/7. So, no, my wife don't get on my nerves. She don't. I tell anybody that she don't. I never say, oh, man, I got to go home and see what she's talking about. I'm always happy to come home. That's not just my opinion. It's just me.
How long you been married? Speak.
Well, now it'll be 3 years this year.
Okay.
You know, so, but the thing is, I already had an idea of what I was looking for with a woman due to, you know, like I said, when I was married before to my ex, we was married almost 10 years. And, you know, I knew exactly what wasn't going to work. So the main thing as a man,
you
don't
want
a woman to, excuse me?
When did you know that? After what year? After you were married for 10 years, after how many years was it over?
It was over. I'm gonna say after the 8th year, and I just kind of hung in there because of the kids.
Yeah.
But I learned. You do not want a woman that A, gets on your nerves, that you do, because I've been through that. Like, oh man, I'd rather work overtime than be at the house. That's not a life to live.
Mm-hmm.
You should want to come home and be your spouse. Excuse me?
Type of woman that's never satisfied.
My wife is happy. She don't be getting, like I said, you don't want a woman that gets on your nerves. Number two, that's always is never enough. I've been through that. Like, no matter what you give them, it's never enough.
Right.
You know, like I said, my wife was very frugal when I met her. Like, she'd be like, oh, I don't want to spend that kind of money. I don't want to do it. And she was happy with anything. She never not once told me, oh, you're going to take me to have some expensive this, and buy me this and buy me that. Not once, even to this day, she's never told me that. That makes
you
want to
give up for stuff. That's how I am. I'd rather see the money than spend the money. I'd rather be rich than act poor. I'd rather have the money and look at that car and know I can get it if I want it, but not have it. You know what I mean? Just to have the money.
Yeah, but it just concerned me that you say, like, you only need 50 feet. Well, if you're talking about working out,
we've been married, and sometimes I got to think. I need time to think, and I just need 50 feet for 2 hours. And
okay,
just,
well, you know
where
you get that 2 hours at? You know you get that 2 hours at? When you talking about working out, when you go hit that gym, there's plenty of thinking you could do by yourself. And you're doing something constructive. That's it,
yeah,
right there.
I try that too.
So, well, that's why everybody does need
but
to have
sometimes
a long time, though.
12 o'clock in the morning.
Everybody needs to have some alone time, whether it be, like, that's why it's important to have some type of hobbies or something to do outside of the relationship, even if you're not married. It's still healthy to, you know, maybe you like to go walking by yourself, or you like to go to the grocery store, or you want to get your hair done. The guy wants to go to the barbershop and get his hair done. I mean, it's not healthy to be all up on top of each other all the time. Everybody
but who says? But who says it's not healthy, though? That's what I'm saying. It's like, it to me, I've always wanted a relationship where my woman, like I said, I'm, of course, you know, you can't be with each other 24/7. She may have to work. You may have to work. But if your woman is your best friend or your man's your best friend, you want to be together with each other. Sometimes getting alone for us is to get away from the kids. That's the best alone ever.
Oh, well, that's true, too.
You know what I'm saying? Forget of being alone by myself. I was like, we just want to talk. You know, without them kids asking stuff or whatever. You know how kids are. You know, I mean, shoot, we want to go have a $25 meal and not a $70 meal. We got to feed all these doggone kids.
Spaghetti.
Shoot, I got all these kids. Shoot, about to have a number 5 next month. So, shoot.
My son has 4.
He has 4?
4, all different races. 4.
Shoot, well, it don't matter about their race. I mean, your grandkids. As long as they're healthy and
yeah,
your grandma.
They are healthy. Yeah, they gorgeous. They gorgeous.
But it seems like you got a problem with the different races thing, though. You do have a problem because you mentioned that about 3 times that they were different races.
I was born in the 60s, okay? Then I lived through the 70s. I lived through the 80s. I lived through the 90s, and I'm living in this new century. And I got it all written down. It's just totally different.
Well, welcome to a changing world, sister.
I've seen a lot. Yeah. People, when I tell people about the 80s, they just don't believe it. They don't believe how fun it was.
Well, like I said, I'm 30. I'll be 35 tomorrow, okay? So
happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So the thing, I was a child in the 80s, you know, and I did my teenage years and all that stuff in the 90s. So I know about the 80s. I know about the 90s for sure. I know when society went to hell, and that was after the early 2000s. I'm telling you right now, society went to hell in a handbasket. We have no restraint after the early 2000s. I think about those simple days in the 80s and 90s that we had just playing outside all day and make sure you run in the house when the streetlights come on. I remember all you know, these kids
And people, they just need to watch movies from the 80s like Kid and Play, Prince, Morris Day, and the Time of Donna. Those are the LL Cool J, I'm Bad. Those were when women were fully dressed in videos. Go back to those videos. Fully dressed.
Shoot, you could do play some 90s hip-hop or rap video. The ones who started the pioneer of the video girl is Luke. He's the pioneer of the video girl. And Luke was so controversial back in the 90s, and people used to, you know, ban him and all the other stuff. Now, everybody might well say is a Luke dancer. Nah, they worse than Luke dancers.
They were.
Back in the day, look at these girls now. Oh, they make Luke dancers look PG.
Yeah, that's bad. I can't believe this type of stuff is on TV. Remember when we used to rush home just to watch The Cosby Show? And now I can't believe some of the stuff that's on TV now. You know,
we have no family shows on TV. That's what I'm talking about. Like I said, if I had it my way, I would have my own either television network or something, some studio or something. Mm-hmm. I would love to bring back good family shows. You know what I'm saying? And to tackle the issues of today.
Good Times and Sanford's on DVD. You know.
But I'm saying like a current family show. You know what I'm saying? Like. We need to know about, but not just what black families go through. We need to know what Hispanic families go through, Arab families, you know, Native American families. I mean, it would be good to see all these different family groups, what they deal with in this country, you know, in America, and which don't get to accurately show everything that everybody deal with. That's kind of things I want to, you know, I would like to do. Bring back some, you know, positivity stuff, but just
to,
if I could do it with television.
I'm in my 40, 47, and I don't know how Hispanics live. I don't know how white people live. Well, I have a white best friend, but I really don't know the inside of their house. I don't know how they live.
You know, and there's other groups of people that's just like you. They have never seen black people. They've never been around them. All they see is what they see on television, and which is bad because you're getting a view of a group of people through somebody else's eyes, through maybe some accurate news stories, but they can push propaganda because propaganda is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous, and the mainstream media does that. To me, it's crazy when I hear somebody say they've never been around different groups of people. I've been around them all.
Mm-hmm. I've been around all
different types of races, cultures. I mean, thankfully, my family is military, so I was able to move around a lot myself. And even as an adult, I've always tried to interact with people of different races and different backgrounds and different economic statuses because it's given me the opportunity to know that, you know, not everybody is the same and that at the end of the day, we're all people. And that's why I'm kind of, when it comes to the issues of race and interracial couples, I'm kind of like, I don't see why people are upset about it because people are still people at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you have the same, like, for instance, like some of the brothers that was on here earlier talking about what going to California. Like I'm saying, when I started a job I had here, and it had a lot of racist white people on it. And who had my back? It was a Mexican dude. And he was like, hey, man, come over here. Let me talk to you. And you got to watch these racists over here, and they'll try to get you fired, this, that, and the third. And I had a lot of Mexicans cut for me on plenty of jobs. You know, so it's like, but I just don't know the beef that's in California with black folks and Mexicans. Because, like they say, well, it's close to Mexico. Like they say Southern California, but like where my wife is from, it's close to Mexico, too. It's not that far, and they don't have beef with you like that. They'll run up on you like that, like want to mess with you and fight with you, you know. So I never really,
yeah,
you know, see
to
deal with that.
I'm still like when I see your stuff on YouTube and I listen to this show, I'm always like, really, wow. I just, it's interesting. Didn't know, like the guy that was on and said the family didn't like him for 3.5 years. That was very interesting.
Oh, that's how.
But he acted like they hated him. So anyway, I'm not going to keep you guys on. I just wanted to say, people have to be on the same page, and you guys get that car that you want, you know, and get that house and get it together. It'll mean more.
Only thing I'm gonna say is love your kids. Don't matter about the race of the grandma. I mean, of grandma. The mamas, you know what I'm saying?
I'm a glam mom. That's an L in there. Glam. Watch it.
All right, glam.
I'm a glam mom.
Oh, Lord. Okay, glam mom. Yeah, just love them kids. And like I said, if them women like you and they treat you good, it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, about any of that stuff. I mean, the thing is, we don't like it as black people when someone does that to us. So we shouldn't portray that on other groups of people since we know how that feels historically. Just saying.
That's what my husband said. You know, and I'm like the guy was saying that his grandmother and everything, I kind of understood where he was coming from because we grew up with that. Oh, you got sanitized your But it's, like he said, it's the women. Oh, she white. She might age differently. She's going to start getting spots in her face after she hits 45. You know, just stuff we don't even really know, but we just grew up with it ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny you mentioning how people age when you just admitted to me you've never been around other groups of people but black folks. So it's like kind of
See it. Like if I go like the little Indian kids and they are so adorable. But when you go into the stores and the woman has aged, it's not the same. Or if you see a white woman I don't want to say that without sounding racist, but I just think that we age differently. Not that I don't like them. I just think we age differently. I think black women.
Well, and that's why I told you that's why I told you it's a half truth to that. It is true to a point that we do not. You're right. We do not age the same due to lifestyles, genes, and melanin. I mean, it is true scientifically. But not everybody's going to age.
But as far as me knowing how they live on the inside of their house, I do not know. I do like the Indians.
They live no different than you. They sleep, they eat, they use the bathroom, they want a quality of life. I mean, the basics.
Well, how come we are the only ones that get portrayed like we're so bad and we're nothing? And like we go on YouTube, we see the fighting and the marriage is not working. And, you know, I don't see that with them.
That's not true. I show stories of everybody. Everybody got problems.
I know you do, but like say, it just seems like we are raised different, and the inside of our homes are different because
every culture do raise their children different than others. You're right, but due to their cultural traditions, beliefs, family beliefs, or religious tradition. Everybody is different. You're right, and there's nothing wrong with everybody being different. That's a good thing. We don't all need to be the same and be like a bunch of doggone robots. I mean,
so maybe
yes,
this younger
Asian
generation and your generation is breaking that trend, maybe, and it's just going to continue.
I mean, even if you get together, only thing about getting together with different races you're going to bring is two different cultures, and you got to learn how to blend those cultures together and respect each other's, you know, way of life. I mean, because, you know, every culture may be different. Like, say, it could be religion. It could be family tradition. It could be whatever. You get what I'm saying? But I was saying earlier, Asian people, you know, they have, you know, they raise their kids with certain traditions and culture, too, versus, let's say, black people or Hispanic people or white people. Or everybody's different, you know?
Do you think, like, inside the Asian home that they're yelling like our, like, black mothers do, get in there, take a bath? You know, do you think that... You know, that's how...
I've been in quite a few Asian people home, and they live their life no different than anybody else. If the kids are acting up, they're going to say something. They're going to get on them.
Okay.
I mean, if nobody's different. Everybody's the same. We're all human beings. I mean, it's like nobody's doing one... Like, now, none of the stereotypical stuff you're going to see on TV, you don't have Asian people karate chopping each other in the house. You know,
no,
something like that.
Raising our children differently because
yes, I mean they believe in certain things like for instance. Well, let me give you an example. Like Asian women after they have a baby, they go on a certain diet for 90 days. It's dry beef soup and something else I forgot, and it helps them get their shape back after they have that child. Now that's something they believe in. All the rest of us don't believe in that, but they believe in it. I mean that's what I call different culture. Having their, like everybody have their different foods and whatever. I mean, yes, we all are different people.
What I'm talking about in different culture, I mean, do you think like black mothers and Asian mothers or Hispanic, you know, it has to be something that's going on inside the house to make the little boy grow up to be this type of person, the stronger, the more can handle stuff, the more I'm used to, the more tougher. And so I was wondering, do we yell at our sons too much? Do we discipline them too much? What makes them a little stronger than the norm, say, when they get 15, 16, 17, and but in their 20s, they just have that demeanor about them, you know?
It's my opinion. I think what's missing today with a lot of the young black males is alpha male qualities. That's what's missing. A lot of alpha male being raised around alpha males, and also the women not superseding the authority of that man when the rearing of his son. If that man says one thing about his son, as long as it's not nothing abusive, of course, and, you know, you need to let that man do what he got to do with his son. But in our community, we have too many women overrunning men and trying to emasculate men in front of their sons, and a lot of the boys don't respect the men in our community due to that. And that's a major problem. You know, and that's another thing I always say. Ain't no woman going to come over here and emasculate me. It ain't happening. You know, I'm
right.
Paying. You know, I wear pants.
I'm not even attracted to, you know, I don't understand. I don't even know why women are, I'm not even attracted to those guys. I don't know why women are attracted to those type of guys where you are the stronger. You are the denominator. You are the more dominant. Not that what Gabrielle was saying earlier that he should hit her. I can't co-sign on that. But.
But she's talking about, but what she was talking about was the context of a woman just beating up on a man, and she knows she could do it because society would lock him up for about 90 days to 6 months is he go upside her head. And some women do try to take advantage of that and hit on men. Like, for instance, when I did my video about the bus driver, okay, and when that Shadia Lane spit on him and he uppercutted the hell out of her, I was all for it. I celebrated that uppercut. Why? Because she deserved it. How you going to spit on some old man?
Exactly.
That ain't right.
You don't put your hands on another human being and expect something to, I mean, expect him not to do anything. Just as a person, because I don't think it's right for any human being to put their hands on another human being.
Right.
It's just out of respect. I mean, I understand that you might be upset, but why is it okay for a woman to sit there, kick, punch, slap, spit on someone, smack him with a purse and everything else, scratch him up, leave permanent marks.
Maybe he can grab her and shake her or something. You can't have somebody like Phillip size and then a woman that's 5'3 and he hit her. Maybe just shake her or, you know, sit on her to calm her down or, you know.
Well, usually I would not get with a woman that's going to put her hands on me anyway, because I always have a thing. If she getting that aggressive and actually going to violate my personal space, and if she ever tell me what you going to do, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to leave. Because I think any woman that put her hands on a man one time, he needs to leave. Period. Like we tell women, men need to do that. The first time you let a woman hit you, she's going to keep doing it. Just like if a man hits a woman, he's going to keep doing it. The exact same thing. It's a psychological thing. It's just abuse. Period. And it's more cases of domestic violence against men that's not talked about. Police laugh at men when they report these crimes. Judges don't want to give women the time they would give men. And they'll say, oh, look, she's 5'2". Like, you can have a woman, Miss Gabriella size, be a little pit bull, beating men up all day long. And then because of her size, they say, oh, what's she going to do to you? You know, she, like, it doesn't matter if a guy is 6'3", 275 pounds. If he laying down, she come across the way and just start jumping on top of him or hit him upside the head with something. What good is him being 6'3 and 275? So, I mean, a woman is capable of taking you out. They do have weapons.
Exactly. A woman could stab somebody. Or if you hit somebody, it doesn't matter how big you are. If you hit somebody in the right spot, you can't kill them. If you smack somebody on the back of a head with a frying pan hard enough, you can kill them. I don't care how, even if you're a child. So nobody should put their hands on anybody. Especially when you want to sit there and become the female Tasmanian devil and slice them all up like Wolverine, but then you want to sit there and be like, oh, he hit me. He defended himself. Oh, he's such a bad person. Throw him in jail where the woman gets to go free. No, that's not okay. Like in the bus fight incident where the woman attacked the man, everybody was getting on the man when all he did was hit her one time or two. Honestly, I feel like she deserved it. And I always say if men start defending themselves, women will go back to the way they used to be and stop putting their hands on men, because they know that, I mean, I don't even care if it's men or women. If you put your hands on somebody, somebody has the right to put their hands on you back and defend themselves. Point blank, period.
I've told my daughters, you do not hit a guy. You don't try to fist fight with a guy because you're just not going to win. And don't say, oh, well, he can't hit me back. Man, forget that. Yes, he can. You start a fight with him. You know,
do you
so
think that they're hitting the guy because he can't hit her back, or they're just so mad right now that...
Either or, it's not right.
Exactly.
Nobody should
put their hands on anybody. I don't care how mad you are. If you're that mad, well, go in the room, close the door, and calm yourself down and be a grown person. You don't put your hands on anybody.
That's
how I was raised. I was always raised that if you get that mad, you need to leave the situation, go calm yourself down for an hour, and then come back. You don't sit there and slap somebody. I don't care how mad you are, because it's not right. Because eventually you might kill somebody by accident, or you might, I mean, who knows?
You know, and like these women, like for instance, what happened one time with my ex. She got mad at me. She was just crazy. And she was telling me, don't look at her. I was like, don't look at you. And she said, you look at me again and say, watch what's going to happen. I look right back at her like, you don't tell me where I can look. I'm a grown doggone man. So she tries to punch me. Of course, you know, I grab the arms or whatever. You're not going to just fight with me like that. I mean, or whatever. And it's not nothing she always would do. She was just like acting a fool. Then I just kind of say, look, you need to tell your nerves. This chick picks up a knife. So I backed up, and I said, you know, and I'm looking around, and her mom was right there at the time when she did it, and she said, you want to keep messing with me? And so I looked at it. They had a tray of dishes. I said, okay. I said, I grabbed the doggone plate, and I said, you know, if this chick take one step, I'm bing her in the neck like a frisbee with this plate. I said, it's going to be on, so I can care less when you pick up something. That male-female chivalry stuff is gone. I said, nah, it's a life or death thing. You know, her mom actually stepped up in front of her and said, look, if you're going to do something to that man, you got to do it to me because you're going to go to jail, you do that type of stuff or whatever, right? So, you know, I mean, yeah, in that moment, yeah, I could have done something, but I didn't. But I always said, if you ever do something like that again, it ain't going to be a conversation. But, you know, when things happen to me in my life, I make a change. And one thing I said from there, I said, I would never in my life let a woman even talk crazy to me like that. I said, because I'm not going to let it escalate to that point. You know, you live and learn. Oh, and like I've been through a lot of crazy stuff in my life, you know what I'm saying? And that's why
that was like a movie right there. So
yeah,
that girl was crazy.
Like I said, she really needs to be, and even to this day, I seriously think she needs to be medicated. You know, because
was she just crazy about you, or was she just crazy? You saw that?
No. It's like I just think. I personally think she needs to be, you know, on bipolar medication, just my opinion. But one day she could be the greatest person in the world to you. I mean, just the best.
Don't be saying nothing about
that bipolar. And then, no, it's different forms of that, different levels of that. And then the next minute she could be like your worst enemy. You know, you piss her off, you know. And like I say, oh, no, I can't deal. I'm getting too old for this. I'm like Danny Glover. I'm too old for that. So... You know, it's just a lot of stuff, you know, and it's not peaceful living like that when you're fighting,
right,
arguing,
I was just
cussing.
Thinking,
you know, my dad said, if you ain't got peace in your house, you ain't got peace nowhere. Mm-hmm. I said, because where you go mm-hmm. to have peace? Your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and some men are in a situation right now that's dealing with just a messed up woman. Let me tell you something, it's better you be in a box by yourself in peace than in a mansion with that contentious woman. Nah, that's just straight up. You know.
And hate is spreading over the land because you do a lot of shows on racism. And like I said, I haven't really experienced it, but in this day and age, I just think, I don't even know if it's blacks hate whites hate blacks. I just think everybody hates everybody. I think blacks hate black, whites hate whites, parents hate kids hate parents. I just think somewhere, maybe around the century, like you said, this hate just spread it over the land. Where we hate our coworkers, we hate our boss, the boss hate everybody. Just hates everybody.
And they hate and everybody hates the truth. I mean, because everybody gets mad at me on my YouTube channel. I mean, that's why I did that so disrespectful YouTube comment videos, is because, like, you know, I have racist white people that hate me because I talk about racism. I have self-hating black people because I call black people out. I have women get mad at me because I call out women. I have guys get mad at me because I call them out of being, you know, either weak or having, you know, no backbone, won't stand up, won't do this, won't do that. Everybody get mad at me. I have a few gay people get mad at me because I don't agree with their lifestyle at all. I don't hate them. I just don't agree. Let me see. Who else? I have a lot of people just mad at me every day.
And you know what you do? I think I left a comment today. Boy, you always keep the same demeanor. Like if you didn't say these things about people saying they hate you, now, even though you read it, you wouldn't know because you don't express it. You just have this. I left a comment today and say you must be the voice of reason in your family. Because you have this demeanor.
I don't know about being the voice of reason, but like I said, I think at least in my household, it's both of us that's the voice of reason. Because sometimes my voice isn't the voice of reason, and I can get very stubborn and bullheaded. So
no, I mean like your siblings, like your brothers and your sisters and your, you know,
yeah.
That.
No, I'm getting bullheaded at times. The thing about me, I have a very, very strong personality, and if it's something in my head, you got to really convince me to change it. Because I'm the type of person, every time I listen to other people, it's blown up in my face. So I'd rather just listen to me. And if it blows up in my face, I'd rather it come from me than come from somebody else. So it has, I don't know, that's like one of my flaws that I do have. It's like, it has to be my way. Hey, I ain't need no help from the Amen Corner wife. Anyway, she up there.
I know you got calls holding, so I don't want to keep you. Oh, no, this will be it
because I'm going to get Ms. Gabriella to do her thing, and I'm going to wrap the show up. So, but sis, I appreciate you calling.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Ms. Gabriella.
Yes.
All right. You on the mic.
All right, so I just wanted to invite you guys to check out my YouTube channel. I'm not going to be posting any videos until after June 15th. However, you can check out my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/user/GIGIAYUMU. I have a few videos coming up. I actually found an alternative to cosmetic dental surgery, and I'm going to share that with you. It saves me thousands of dollars, so I'm going to speak on that on my YouTube channel. I also talk about health, makeup reviews, all different types of things, and I'm always taking requests. And you can find the link to my Facebook like page, where on that page you can find all the links to my blog, my different social media sites, and you can hit me up on there. I'm always taking requests, and I always like to talk to the people. So if you're interested, make sure you check me out.
Anything else with Gabriella before I run off at the mouth?
That's good.
You good. All right. You good in the hood. All right, everybody. Appreciate you joining the show tonight, adding in, had some good calls and good information. So, you know, what we're going to do now, as always, now the Janelle Ambrosia video. Let me tell you what Complex, I think Complex Magazine or whatever. Now, you know the video with Janelle Ambrosia, the woman. It was cussing out the black dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go to upload the video to YouTube. It has a third-party content match. I say, how? Because it's not their video. It is a video for their brother. He the one shot the video. But yet, they are dirty enough to try to get ads off of people, and that's not even their video. I say, isn't that dirty, Ms. Gabriella?
Mm-hmm.
For them to try to pull some stunt like that. So, you know, when they do stuff like that, I'm going to go ahead and put it up on my website. But, you know, if you follow my Facebook, that's why I stress Facebook or Twitter. If you like my Facebook fan page or Twitter, okay, you will get any video that I post at that time period. Because now all the time I'm going to make a promo video to everything. I just don't have that kind of time sometimes, okay? So make sure you like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theadvisor. That's what I tell you guys. We'll cover the Justin Bieber today. We'll cover that one.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're covering.
Yeah, talk about them videos, man.
Yeah, let me see. What else we covering today? About the brothers that was told about the white only water fountain and microwave, and they couldn't use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to do that. What are the videos that we got coming today? Oh, So Disrespectful YouTube Comments 5. We're doing that today. See, that was about 12 minutes long, so that was to be okay. Some people kind of rubbed me the wrong way on that video, so you know how that goes. You know, we just having fun there. So, you know, thank you, everybody, for joining me. So make sure you go to the Facebook fan page and, you know, just wait for the videos. I'll put them up shortly after I hit the end button on this particular episode. Definitely see you next week. Now, so like I said, tomorrow is my birthday, and okay. Tomorrow is my birthday. Our birthday. Miss Gabriella is born
tomorrow.
The same day I am born. So I am turning 35 years old. And Miss Gabriella, you're turning?
22.
Okay, Miss Gabriella is turning 22. All right. So we both got birthdays. Now, we all would take
PayPal donations.
We would take donations, Baskin Robbins gift cards for ice cream cake or something. You know, you can easily find us if you want to give us a good birthday celebration. I would not turn it down. But I won't. Shoot. I was always told you better learn how to receive a blessing and not always give them. So appreciate everybody joining us, and see you next time.